Thank you for tuning in to our Lord's Day message. Unfortunately, we're unable to meet all together today. Our town has suffered a second flood in the space of a month, and the hall where we normally gather for worship is out of action. I know some of you will be watching this at home, and others will be watching this at one of our house churches. Wherever you are, I trust the preaching of God's word will be an encouragement to you. We are continuing our study through the Gospel according to Luke. We're in chapter 14, and today we're going to consider verses 7 to 11. But I'm going to take our reading from verse 1. But please, if you would, follow along as I read aloud. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And, behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him, and healed him, and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. I don't know if I've said this from the pulpit before. If I have, I apologise for repeating myself. But it seems to me that our culture tries to have it both ways when it comes to humility. On the one hand, you will hear people praise this virtue when they see it. You often hear sports commentators remarking about this, referring to the star player. They'll say something like, Off the field, he's such a humble guy. I mean, he's very approachable. He's involved with the community. He takes an interest in the younger players coming through. The same is true in other fields of endeavour. Every business owner, every manager is looking to employ someone who is humble, someone who is willing to learn, someone who isn't full of themselves. And we appreciate this quality in our friends. We're all drawn to people who are humble. This character trait is seen as a very good thing, something desirable. Our culture praises this virtue and seeks those who possess it. But then on the other hand, our culture is obsessed with self-promotion. In fact, we now have whole series on Netflix and other streaming services that follow the lives of people whose sole occupation is self-promotion. We live in the age of the social media influencer. Our culture encourages people to put themselves out there, to show off their physical attributes if they're blessed with them. Don't be modest about yourself. Don't be modest about your achievements. Broadcast them to the world. Don't keep your opinions to yourself. Share them with as many people as you can, as if you're an expert in the field. Social media has supercharged the human capacity for vanity and pride. Our culture listens to people and adores people and enriches people who have actually achieved next to nothing. And it has created and reinforced in the minds of many an inflated view of self and what they deserve. So, can you see what I mean when I say that our culture tries to have it both ways when it comes to humility? Or at least, it's very confused about it. We praise humility when we see it. It's a very attractive quality. Yet we've created this ecosystem that works against it, that encourages the very opposite. Our culture is confused about humility, but we shouldn't be. We don't need to be, because the Bible is very clear. If you're at all familiar with the New Testament, you know that Jesus talked about humility an awful lot, as did his apostles after him. And you also know that Jesus modeled humility. Jesus is the supreme example of humility in all of human history. He is the one true and living God. He is the eternal, self-existent, all-wise, all-powerful creator who took to himself true humanity with its limitations and its frailties. He is the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, and for our salvation. In our text today, we have recorded some things that Jesus said about humility. His words are easy to understand and they're very practical. They also tell us why humility is so important, why we should follow in his footsteps. All I'm going to do today is work through what Jesus said and make application to our lives. I've got 5 points for us to consider. And yes, I know that's 2 more than 3, but don't worry. This sermon won't be any longer than normal. As we saw last week, the first 24 verses of Luke chapter 14 are Luke's account of a meal that Jesus had in the home of a Pharisee on the Sabbath day. The account begins with Jesus performing a miracle of healing and then addressing the scheming of the Pharisees. And then Jesus looked around and observed what was happening as people came into the Pharisee's home and took up places around the table. And what Jesus saw moved him to give what Luke calls a parable. He described a hypothetical situation in order to teach a lesson. Now, in order to understand this passage, we have to know a little bit about the social conventions associated with meals like the one described in this chapter. To put it simply, some seats at the table were better than others. And they weren't seats like we have around our dining tables. Rather, they were couches on which 2 and sometimes 3 people would recline. And the basic idea was that the seats closest to the host were the best seats. The most prominent guests at the meal, the most respected guests, would be given those spots. They would recline at the table on couches immediately to the left and right of the host. And the further you sat away from the host, the less prominent you were. It's a bit like a wedding reception today. There is a kind of pecking order when it comes to the seating arrangements. The bride's great aunt, who she's only seen twice in her life, doesn't sit next to her at the front table. Her bridesmaids do. Her dearest family members and friends. And there was a kind of pecking order that operated at gatherings like this one that Jesus attended. Where you sat had to do with your social status, it had to do with your prominence in the community and your relationship with the host. Our King James translation uses the expression "the chief rooms" in verse 7. And it might sound like there was a whole bunch of rooms in the house with dining tables set up in them. And some rooms were better than others, but that's not the sense. The word carries the idea of a place, the chief place at the table. It refers to the best place to sit at the table, and Jesus observed that those who were invited to this meal chose the best seats, the most honourable places at the table. The text says, "And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms." So we can imagine what happened. You know, when these people entered the room, they didn't head for the lower end of the table, you know, the end where the riffraff would sit. They went for those spots close to where the host would sit. And one wonders if there was a bit of a scramble, a bit of a jostle for those best seats. What this told Jesus, and what this tells us, is that these guests had a high opinion of themselves. They thought they belonged at the head of the table, if you will. They thought they were entitled to sit in the places of honour. They thought that was fitting for persons of their standing. And their behaviour reminds us that pride is very natural. And that's the first of my 5 points. Pride is very natural. What struck me about Luke's account here is how straightforward it is. He records what these people did without any comment. There doesn't seem to have been anything strange about this, anything out of the ordinary. When these people entered the Pharisee's home, they sought out the best seats as if that was the normal thing to do. Of course that's what they did. And I get the impression that they didn't think very much about it. They didn't reflect upon whether they should be seeking out those better seats at the meal table. They just assumed that that's where they belonged. As I said, I think this reminds us that pride is very natural. The human heart has this natural inclination to think more highly of itself than it ought to think. We don't have to work at this. We don't have to try very hard to have an inflated view of ourselves or to think that we're entitled to certain things. Brothers and sisters, the truth is that we have to guard our hearts. That we are to be people who, with God's help, people who reflect on our thoughts and our attitudes and our behaviour. And there have been many times where I've caught myself in this. I've turned around and said, "Peter, that's pride. Peter, you're so proud. How dare you think such things about yourself and about others?" And pride had welled up within me, and I hadn't even realised it until it had really taken hold in my thinking and in my attitudes. As Christians, yes, we have new life, and yes, we have God's Spirit, but we still walk around in our fallen humanity. Our heart is still very capable of leading us astray. We would do well to listen to Solomon, who said in Proverbs chapter 4, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Or to put it another way, keep your heart with all vigilance. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. How we think, how we speak, how we relate to others, the decisions that we make, it all goes back to what's going on inside of us. Pride begins inside. It takes root inside. It grows upwards and outwards. It bears its awful fruit in our attitudes and in our behaviour. And as I said, it is so very natural. It is native to the human heart. And if we're not careful, it will have its way with us. And we'll end up behaving like these people did. And this brings us to the second point in our message. pride causes us to do and to say inappropriate things. Pride causes us to do and to say inappropriate things. And Jesus saw what was going on at this meal, and that moved him to say something. He gave this parable, this illustration, and what we see in the parable is a man who, because of his inflated sense of his own importance, chose a seat at a wedding feast that was beyond his place. He chose one of the seats of honour that he really wasn't entitled to. He thought he should be sitting at the top table with the prominent members of the community, but he didn't really belong there. And the host had to ask him to take a lower position because the seat was actually for someone else. Now look, please, at verses 8 and 9. Jesus said, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place." This man did something inappropriate. Not sinful, but unfortunate. He violated the social conventions of the time. He chose a seat that wasn't really fitting for a person of his standing, and this is what pride does. It causes people, it causes us to do things and to say things that are not appropriate. We put ourselves forward when we should step back because there are others more qualified than us. We venture our opinion when we should be silent because there are people who are wiser and more knowledgeable than we are. We grasp for things we think we're entitled to when in reality we're not. And this is something that I've been guilty of. There have been situations where I was forthright with my opinions. I insisted that my views were the right one, that my ideas should be followed. And I did that with people who knew far more than I did. People who were wiser and more experienced than me. I asserted myself. I grasped after more prominence than I deserved. And looking back, it was just pride. It was just ego. I really should have kept my mouth shut. I should have deferred to those other people. My behaviour was very inappropriate and even disrespectful. And this is something that all of us can do. We're not the one with the years of study and experience. We're not the expert by any stretch. There are others who are better placed to understand the situation and give counsel. There are others who are better qualified to take the lead. We really should be modest about our own views or not even share them. We should defer to others, but we don't. We have to have our say. We have to insist on having things done our way. And it's inappropriate, even disrespectful. And we effectively thumb our noses at God's provision. Now, those people who know more than we do, those people who are wiser than we are, that those people who could really help us. Sometimes we think we're wiser, stronger, and more capable than we actually are. We don't listen to others, and we make poor decisions for ourselves and for our family, and sometimes we fall into sin. We rebel against authority because we're proud. We don't forgive others and seek reconciliation because we're proud. We become very self-centered and short-tempered because we're proud. We think we can put ourselves in the way of temptation. We can walk right up to the line and not fall because we're proud. And this is a dangerous mistake because, as we also see in this parable, this is point number 3, pride always leads to embarrassment and demotion. Pride always leads to embarrassment and demotion. What happened to the man that chose one of the better seats at the wedding feast? The host asked him to move, and that was very embarrassing. Look once more at verses 8 and 9. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say unto thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Now this poor fellow had to deal with the embarrassment of being asked to move by the host. And he had to go and sit in the lowest place, probably in a lower place than he would have ordinarily been seated. He was humiliated, and he ended up in a worse position. I couldn't help but think of some verses in the book of Proverbs that this man's experience well illustrates. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. This man was proud. He went for one of the best seats at the feast, a seat that was in truth above his station, a seat that was for someone more prominent than him. And what happened? He was embarrassed because he was asked to move further down, and everyone at the wedding feast saw that. As the verse says, pride is always followed by shame. Pride causes us to say something we shouldn't say. We make a bad decision. We behave inappropriately in front of others. We're too stubborn to change course. And others see our mistakes. They see our foolishness. And we are humiliated. And then listen to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I don't think we can say that being asked to move down to the lower end of the table was destruction. All that was really destroyed was this man's ego. But I think we understand the point. Our pride will inevitably take us down. We think we're up here, but we'll end up way down here. Our pride will do great harm in our own lives and in the lives of those we love. And there is an alternative. There is a better way. Instead of being proud, we can and we should choose to be humble. And that's the fourth point in our message today. Pride is very natural. Pride causes us to do and to say inappropriate things. Pride always leads to embarrassment and demotion. So, choose to be humble. That's Jesus' message in this teaching. Verse 10, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship or honour in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Now what's interesting to me about what Jesus said here is that he didn't tell his audience to think about where exactly they might belong in terms of honour and choose the seat that is most appropriate. He didn't tell them to do that. And actually, Jesus didn't address the inner life at all. He simply said, go and sit in the lowest place. Just do it. Do the humble thing. And I think this tells us something about humility. Yes, it is a disposition of the heart. Yes, it concerns the way we think about ourselves, our abilities, and what we're entitled to. But it's also something we display with our actions. It's something we do. It's something we can choose. We might think we belong at the head of the table or somewhere in the middle, and we might be right about that. But we can choose to be humble, to humble ourselves and take the lowest place. Now, this is exactly what our Lord Jesus did. He chose to be humble. He chose to take the lowest place. That's what the Apostle Paul so beautifully unfolds to us in Philippians chapter 2. Speaking of Jesus, he says, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." In other words, he wasn't grasping at something that didn't belong to him when he considered himself to be equal with God, because he was God. Verse 7, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus, God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the one by whom all things were created, the one who always existed in the form of God with every divine attribute and prerogative, he limited himself by taking to himself true humanity, a body and a soul just like ours. He limited himself by being made in the likeness of men, and furthermore, he took upon himself the form of a servant. The King of Kings became a servant to all. The majestic Lord of heaven and earth became a carpenter's son from Nazareth. Jesus chose the way of humility. And so we recognize that he doesn't instruct his disciples to do something that he wasn't prepared to do himself. "When thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room." Now, there are many occasions when we can do this. There are many occasions when we can choose to be humble. Now, let me say that if we choose to be humble so that people will notice our humility, then we're not being humble. There is no such thing as an ostentatious display of humility. We can choose to serve others in those ways that don't get much recognition. We can choose to do those jobs that aren't very exciting, that most people don't like to do. We can choose to be quiet and let others speak. We can choose to keep our opinions to ourselves. We can choose to let the attention fall on other people. We can choose to do works of mercy and not tell everyone about it on Facebook or Instagram. We can choose to give way to others, even if we think we do a better job. We can choose to admit our mistakes and take responsibility for them. We can choose to submit to those in authority, even when we don't agree with them or their personality rubs us the wrong way. We can choose to listen to others and really think about what they say. There are literally dozens and dozens of situations where we can, as it were, go and sit down in the lowest room. And we should do that. We should choose to be humble, because that will stop us from being proud and foolish and inviting into our lives all of the consequences that inevitably come. Pride always leads to embarrassment and demotion. And we should choose to be humble because, and this is point number 5, the proud are brought low and the humble are lifted up. The proud are brought low and the humble are lifted up. Look, please, at verse 10 and then verse 11. "But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If you shouldn't be in the lowest place, if you're worthy of more honour, let the host address that. Let him invite you to come and sit in a higher place, and then you will have the esteem, the respect of those you sit at the table with. That's what Jesus was saying. And it was an easy step from there to the moral of the story, to the larger point that Jesus wanted to get across, this message about pride and humility. Those who lift themselves up, they fall. Those who lower themselves down, well, they are lifted up. This is how it goes in life. This is how it goes with God. God pushes down the proud and he lifts up those who are humble. Now, the Bible communicates this to us over and over again in its precepts and in its history. We see proud nations and proud people fall and fail and come under judgment. And we see humble people being lifted up and blessed. We see humble people flourishing. For now, let me share just three verses that essentially repeat what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 14. First of all, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23, it says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honour shall uphold the humble in spirit." Now, maybe we need to put the first part of that verse on the fridge or above the bathroom mirror. A man's pride shall bring him low. How often have we found that to be true? How often has our pride brought us low? We need this reminder. And we need the rest of the verse. It's the humble in spirit and not the proud who receive honour. It's the humble in spirit that are upheld. And then secondly, listen to Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. It says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Now, brothers and sisters, this is an amazing verse. The God who dwells on high, the God who is most high, above everyone, above everything, he dwells with humble people. He gives them strength. He revives their hearts when they are weak and broken. And then finally, listen to a verse that most of us know well, James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Now, I'm pretty sure none of us want to be in a situation where God is resisting us, where God is working against us. Now, frankly, that's pretty scary. Rather, we desire to experience his kindness. We want his help. We want to be encouraged and strengthened and lifted up, and we will be if our disposition towards him is one of humility. And our disposition towards him is seen in our disposition towards others. It's impossible to be humble when it comes to our relationship with God, but proud in our relationship with others. You know, we're not humble at all. God reigns over all of our life. And true humility is being humble in every sphere, in all our relationships, at home, at work, at church, with our neighbours, everywhere we go. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And maybe today, God is calling you to humble yourself in some area of your life. He's telling you that you need to go and sit down in the lowest place. Maybe you need to admit to someone that you've done wrong and ask for their forgiveness. Often that takes a lot of humility. Maybe you need to stop being stubborn and admit your mistakes, change course. Maybe you need to get off Facebook because you always have to assert yourself. You always have to broadcast your opinion, and it's become a distraction. It's become unhealthy. It's just pride. Maybe you need to go and ask someone for help. You need to ask someone for counsel because you really don't know what to do. Everyone thinks you've got it together, but you don't. Whatever it is, in whatever area you need to humble yourself, let me encourage you to go ahead and do it. Because the way of humility is the way of grace and blessing and uplift. Staying proud will only lead to more frustration, more shame, more discouragement, more pain. It's the way down, not the way up. Jesus said, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." This is God's word for us today. May God help us, and may God bless you. Amen.